This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Welcome to the Green Room. For three decades, portions of Ann Arbor's groundwater have been contaminated by 1,4-dioxane. The source is the old Gelman Sciences facility in Scio Township. In this 21st installment in our ongoing series on the Ann Arbor area's contamination plume, Barbara Lucas takes you back inside the Green Room to explore the role persistence plays in the situation. Past, present, and future.
It's been 23 years now that Ann Arbor resident Roger Rail has tracked the Gelman plume. He uses cutting-edge computer graphics to illustrate the plume's expansion. One of his illustrations is hanging at the Ann Arbor Art Center. It's in an exhibit celebrating ordinary citizens speaking out for change. We're downtown Ann Arbor walking to the gallery.
There were some internal whistleblowers that didn't get listened to before Dan Bicknell, as an outsider, blew the whistle and had the persistence to stay with it.
He's referring to graduate student Dan Bicknell's relentless insistence in the mid-1980s, in the face of enormous opposition, that dioxane from Gelman Sciences was escaping into the environment.
If you think about what could have happened if Dan hadn't been as persistent, this dioxane could have been, they could have still been using it for another 20 years before it showed up anywhere. It's upstairs.
On the second floor of the Art Center, there's his map, hanging in a corner.
So here it is, basically a Google Earth screenshot.
Easy to overlook amongst the sights and sounds of avant-garde art, it belies the mountains of data points and decades of drama regarding the spreading plume. For instance, the discovery in 2000 of the E-plume, an additional 2 miles of contamination, previously unknown. Rail says the company had asserted that deep aquifer was protected from the dioxane above by a layer of clay.
But there are holes in that layer.
He says the citizen watchdogs noticed the company wasn't going very deep when drilling monitor wells to check for contamination. They worried, how did they know for sure the deep aquifer was protected by clay?
So we advocated strongly that all new wells go at least to bedrock. And sure enough, they found some hits at these deeper levels.
Eventually, sample results reached over 4,000 parts per billion in the E-plume.
That was a real shock to everybody.
He says if they'd been sampling at the deep levels from the start,
maybe that would have avoided the contamination of the city's supply well, Northwest Supply Well, that was again discovered to be contaminated.
The Northwest Supply Well supplied 5% of Ann Arbor's drinking water before it was shut down.
So there's a lot of negligence on both the company's side and the DNR originally, and then the DEQ even after that, to sample all of the layers so that we could prevent more contamination.
Because the geology is so complex, it's very hard to predict the movement of groundwater. Could a major shock like this happen again?
We don't know. There's a lot of unknowns still. That's why it's really important to keep up with the monitoring, keep up with the data.
What does the latest data show?
Well, the two wells that are at the boundary of the prohibition zone that were supposed to be non-detect.
He says they're now over one part per billion.
So these are solid hits.
He calls them sentry wells.
So these sentry wells are canaries in the coal mine. If you start seeing something going on there, then you start worrying.
Being mortal, Roger Rail can't continue his totally volunteer watchdog role forever. Will someone take his place when he's gone? He can only hope.
We have to be as persistent as the compound we're trying to get cleaned up. And dioxin is very persistent. Once it gets anaerobic in the groundwater, it basically stays there forever.
Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU.
The Green Room is a presentation of the WEMU News Department. To listen to the first 20 pieces in our series on the Ann Arbor area's 1,4-dioxane plume, visit the Green Room archive at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU.